Ladies and gentlemen, happy Memorial Day, and welcome to the Vigilance Press podcast. This is James Dossie. You're probably not listening to this on Memorial Day. You've probably gone out and done your grilling and celebrated the day, but hopefully you're tucked in at some point, and you're going to listen to this podcast because you want to hear the first Beacon City campaign game. And this is actually going to be an actual play where I will be GMing, and my four players will be bravely venturing into the world of Beacon City. This is the first time I've run this setting for the podcast in this way, and this is the first time that these characters will be acting as a team. So we're going to be doing this in a kind of organic way and letting the players kind of encounter and meet each other. Some of them will know each other from the beginning, but to introduce the players to the audience, in case you haven't been following, let's start with Jason Tondreau, also known as Dr. Comics. Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm okay this morning. Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. The puppy didn't keep you up too late last night?
The puppy kept us up fairly late, but that's all right. These are the things that we pay.
Yes, yes. Well, and going around the table here, let's say hello to Lynn Hill. Hey, Lynn, how you doing?
Hello, hello.
Oh, and let me actually introduce the player with the character. That would be a good plan. Jason is going to be playing the Lamplighter, correct?
The Lamplighter, yes.
Yes.
Omnia Vincit.
I'm sorry?
That's his signature phrase is Lux Omnia Vincit, which is Latin meaning light conquers all.
All right. I really do need to bone up on my Latin.
See, now our audience has learned something for the day.
And Jason, always educational. Lynn Hill will be playing the Jade Witch.
Yes, yes. Sure will. And I have a Latin thing I can say too, but it's just off the top of my head. It has nothing to do with my character. So
what's your Latin phrase?
My Latin phrase is alia jacta est, the die is cast, which I've always liked for gaming. So there. Hurrah. Two Latin lessons today.
Okay. Rick Jones.
Howdy, and how I don't know any Latin.
E pluribus unum.
Oh, yep, there's that.
Semper ubi sub ubi.
Illegitimae non carborundum. And that's where I
stop.
All right, so Rick is going to be playing Tempest, right?
Correct.
Yes. And Tempest is actually the sun. He's a demigod in the world we've created here. Let's see. So we don't have any Latin cool phrases. We'll just move on to Theron. Theron, how are you doing today?
I'm all right.
So Theron will be playing the Stargate or Starchild, right?
Right, Starchild.
I keep wanting to put the. Jason started a thing.
He's just Starchild.
All right, so we've got Starchild, we've got Tempest, we've got Jade Witch, and we've got the Lamplighter.
Yes, yes, he's in the hero catalog under T for the. Yes.
Okay. Right next to the Batman.
Yeah.
It's like, when did he become the Batman? I think, like, you know, when they dropped the American Comics Code Authority symbol, right?
Yeah.
All right, so today's game, we will be getting these players together for the first time, or these characters, rather. I have to try and make that. We will be playing using the Mutants and Masterminds role-playing game system, and this is a homebrew setting that I've come up with called Beacon City. And for those who haven't been keeping pace, Beacon City is a southeastern American city styled after Atlanta and located somewhere between Savannah and the Florida, somewhere along the east coast of Georgia, south of Savannah.
Jacksonville,
between Jacksonville and Atlanta, yes. And I did have my map handy, and then I set it aside, and now I have other papers piled over it, so there we go. All right. We're going to start the adventure on a dark and stormy night. It is a spring storm, so it's the weather is turning from cold to warm. Let's call it early April, and it's about 3 in the morning, 3 a.m. And we are going to start with let's start with the lamplighter, and I'm going to frame your introduction here to kind of show off the spooky crime fighter that you are. You have just taken down a gang of smugglers, and I'm going to let you kind of frame the scene and describe what you've done and what crime they were committing when you brought them two-fisted justice just before the and let you describe your scene and what you're doing there. So,
well, it's probably got to be some kind of drug smuggling. So there are probably crates of crates of fish that are all like underneath the fish are packed in ice, and underneath the ice is, you know, all the cocaine or something. I'm not a drug crime expert, but
well, actually, that's probably the modern thing in comics always like to grab onto whatever the modern crime du jour is. Let's say that they were shipping crystal meth.
Okay, there you go. Well,
and hidden as the ice, you know, it's
plausible enough for a comics reader to believe.
Yes.
And so I think at this point, if we've already defeated them, then there's probably a couple of big trucks around, and then lots of one of these trucks is filled with boxes, and there's a yacht that's got no lights on it, so it's designed to be able to sail in and out without being spotted by the Coast Guard or something. And then there's about a dozen unconscious drug runners littering the area as the lamplighter probably signs his name to the crime scene and calls the cops.
Okay.
Trying to think how he would sign his code phrase. Maybe I'll just have to leave a card behind.
Okay.
I don't know. I could burn my code name, my code phrase into the wall.
You can do that, or into the sides of the crates.
Yeah.
Using your chest mounted laser.
Yeah, I can't do it with a spray can. That would offend my civic justice. So the lamplighter, he's physically wearing an all black sort of armored, you know, Batman style, cinematic style outfit, but with a leather cape and a hood, and then underneath the hood, he's also got a mask. And it's all black except for this bright white circular light that shines out of his chest. So I think that before he departs, he's already called the cops and told them in his lamplighter voice that there's a busted drug crime on the docks. And then he turns toward the boxes, and the lamp ignites, and it actually breaks up into like a bunch of little small lights, like a bunch of small laser beams, white lights. And then when the lights turn off, he's burned Lux Omnia Vincit on the side of one of the crates.
Okay. And as you leave the scene, I presume that you're taking the rooftop route.
Well, when you said smuggling, so I presume that we were far away from the city. But is this on like the docks or something?
You're at the docks. Yeah, you at the docks so that you can be close enough so you can watch as the cops arrive and they all pile up and see the unconscious or restrained villains kind of tied up around the scene, and one of the men looks up just in time to catch a glimpse of you as you vanish off.
Right. Excellent.
All right. The you've been tracking this particular drug cartel for a while. They actually are affiliated with the terrorist group called Shadowfire. Okay. And they've been bringing all sorts of poison into the city for quick cash and creating a real big problem. But you're still trying to work your way up the chain of command to find the one in charge so you can try and shut down the entire smuggling operation. So you're still...
Without a crime lab, this is really hard. You know, I don't have a headquarters to do all this out of, so I sort of spent a lot of time doing the footwork.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which basically puts you on the eastern side of the city. And for those of you who aren't looking at my map, which is everybody except me right now, the Beacon City is a rather large city. It is a metropolitan city that's actually several cities that grew into one. And you are off of the northeast, and so you can actually see the Torch Tower off in the distance, which is the famous landmark lighthouse that shines off the coast. And you are kind of at the northeast corner of the compass, and when you look across the city, you basically see it's dark. You see the lights of the buildings in the... There are tall buildings in the center of the city, but most of the buildings out to the sides, there aren't skyscrapers everywhere like you would see in New York. Lots of shorter buildings, mostly two-story or one-story buildings. And then in the middle of the, you know, metro area, you see a lot of skyscrapers kind of clustered together around where all the highways kind of twist around each other. And then you see the thunder kind of backlighting the buildings and crackling off to the distance. And then we are going to... So we've established you there, and then... Actually, while you're standing there, you look off into the distance, and you see a rumble of what looks like green flame flickering down from the sky where it should be just thunder, and that kind of catches your eye.
Is this near tall buildings, or is this out in the...
It seems like it's beyond the buildings, like it's on the other side of town, maybe the southeastern, towards the southeastern side of the city.
All right, well, that's too far for me to get on foot. So the lamplighter, he concentrates, and the light in the lamp grows brighter and brighter and brighter until it consumes his entire body. And then he just shoots like a light beam across the city directly towards the green fire.
Okay. And we will cut to a bus. That's arriving at town. And this is actually an out-of-town... we'll say the Greyhound is coming from... Starchild, where's your character from again?
The fictional, as far as I know, Morgansville, West Virginia.
Okay, so you're coming from the south... Are you coming... You're heading south from Virginia, down I-95, we'll say. And so you're... passing through the city, you were basically they took the I-90 split through the city, and so you're actually looking around and seeing all these buildings lit up by the lightning every now and then the dreary rain. You were gonna be here during the day, and actually you had bought a ticket specifically because you wanted to see the city during the day, but Your trip got delayed because there was a mechanical problem with the bus, and so you're kind of exhausted. You're about 8 hours overdue, and you're kind of tired and cranky. And describe the conditions on the bus for yourself here. What are the passengers, your co-passengers, like?
Oh, let's see here. Drawing on my vast reservoir of bus travel. Let me see here. it's a good thing it's only spring because the AC's out, so it's kind of stuffy. It doesn't smell particularly good. I'm so tired. I'm having a hard time keeping other people's thoughts out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even that I'm trying to read minds around me. It's just that the noise is coming in. Everybody is irritated. No one is happy. There's an older woman on the seat next to me who's coming down to visit her grandbabies, and she reeks of too much old lady perfume, which isn't helping at all. I've got a splitting headache at this point. The bus driver is surly and cranky and just wants people to shut up and ride.
I think the bus driver is at the point, you know, since your destination here is, he's like, ah, almost there. And, you know, he takes the turn onto the I-90 split, which is towards the west end of town and towards where the bus station is, like, at I-90 and I-20. And so it kind of takes you to the south western corner of town. And then from there, you were supposed to take a taxi since you're going to the college, you were supposed to go and take that to the housing building, but you might have to find a hotel until tomorrow. At least that's what they're thinking. But as you're driving along, you kind of are staring out the window, just kind of fuguing out when there's a sudden screech and you snap awake as the bus driver slams on the brakes, and you actually see cars around you kind of shooting past you because cars like to pass buses, and then like their brake lights flaring, and you see one car like turn sideways and then tumble over as it slams into a big wall of green, and the bus manages to stop in time, but all these other cars are kind of grinding to a halt around you in the rain, and something huge has apparently blocked the interstate, and it actually looks like it's broken through the interstate, like the raised bridge here has shattered underneath it. You're not sure what you're looking at because it's so dark outside and you're at the back of the bus, but something is here and blocking your path, or blocking the bus's path.
Okay. Does it seem like the people around me are okay?
Yeah, it doesn't look like anybody in the bus is hurt, but that car took a tumble outside. There might be some people hurt there.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Let me see here. If I can see into the car, I'm going to try and pick up any thoughts in there, see if anybody's conscious, hurt, whatever.
Okay. Lightning flares outside. You're going to try and stay from inside the bus. Everybody else inside the bus is like getting up and standing up to turn to see what's going on. So you find yourself kind of alone as you kind of stare out the window using your psychic abilities. Use a perception check.
Okay. Let's see here. My perception is darn good. I rolled a 12. I have a plus 10, so that's a 22.
22. Okay, you sense there's two minds in the car. You sense one in panic. Actually, yeah, you have mind reading. I'll go with this. You feel one mind in a panic and another mind seemingly unconscious, like not dreaming, but just knocked out. Somebody's taken a bad blow to the head. But there's two minds in that car. And just as you're looking at it, you see a flicker of light on the car, and you see a flame pop up near the one of the wheel wells.
Okay.
Looks like the car is catching on fire. You see the bus driver stepping outside, and as he opens the door, you know, rain and wind come into the bus, and he turns and he says, "Everybody stay inside." And of course, everybody immediately pushes towards the front of the bus.
Mm-hmm. Does the bus have a back emergency exit?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to try, if I have to go over the seats or whatever, I'm small, I'm going to try and get back to it.
Okay.
If people are pushing forward.
Okay. Meanwhile, on the other side of town, actually, the camera shifts to the actual center of town, near Beacon City University. There is a few blocks away. There is a building that looks like kind of an old world library building, and the front of it says Amber Research Genealogy, and the hours are plainly posted. The camera passes into the building, and we see a large area. It seems like a one-story building. Nothing of real interest inside. It's pretty dark inside. The camera goes back through a locked door and into a room where an old-fashioned elevator then takes the camera down a few stories into a brightly lit area where a much larger library is hidden. And inside there, two figures are doing some research. Jade and Tempest, you're here together. What are you guys researching tonight?
Are we doing schoolwork?
You could be. You could be using this as an excuse for study hall.
It's date night.
I'm not going to assume any type of romantic relationships between characters. Although, if that's the kind of relationship you guys want to develop, that's fine.
Well, don't let's start there. I mean, let's see if they get along first.
Yeah,
she might hate his guts. No, but yeah, I'm good with homework. You said it was early April, so
mm-hmm.
Finals are coming.
Yeah, they are. They're lurking.
Lurk, lurk, lurk.
I am probably retyping a paper that got lost when a bunch of sewer goblins attacked him on the way to class.
I love it. Okay, so I'm helping you reconstruct your paper.
Okay. You guys are here... taking advantage of the library's facilities because the library is on its own unique power supply, and the lab at school went dead a few times when the lightning started. So you guys kind of rushed over here to try and finish his paper. When you hear a door open and one of your superiors, an old fellow who's in his 60s, kind of cranky and obnoxious. He's actually the guy supposedly in charge of this facility. Excuse me for a second while I gather my notes. Oh, okay. His name is Mr. Bradbury. And he is actually... he's like one of your anathemas. I mean, he's not a villain or anything, but he definitely takes his job very specifically, and he considers the library's duties to be strictly in monitoring certain kinds of occult threats, and anything other than that is none of their business. So he considers any activities like dealing with non-supernatural threats to be moonlighting. And he's like, he doesn't care what you do on your own time, just don't bring the attention to the library. But he's also kind of, like, nose in the air about it. But,
Yay!
Oh, he's Jonah Jameson. I get it.
He's
not a villain, he's a pain.
Yeah, yeah. John Bradbury. And, he walks out and he sees you guys using one of the, electric typewriters, and just sort of stops. He looks at it. He pulls a pocket watch out and looks at it, and then he looks at you two with a scowl on his face, and he says, "What are you two doing here? It's 3:00 in the morning."
I was just about to ask you the same thing.
I'm going to just keep typing and hope he's not talking to me.
You're looking for the undo button.
No. Flop.
It's like, oh, now can I hit the whiteout button? And then... I remember when I was a kid and my mom got an electric typewriter that had the automatic whiteout button, and we thought that was the coolest thing in the world before there were word processors in the house. Anyway, so that's basically what you're using here, because they don't have computers in this room at all.
Of course not. That would be too easy.
Should probably be happy to have an electric typewriter.
Yeah. Well, you think it's electric. It buzzes and it clicks things through very quickly, but you're not exactly sure where it plugs in. Actually, well, the mage knows it's a spell. It's powered by magic. But
okay, cool.
You could actually, you know, you have enough knowledge about rituals. You could determine some information. I forget. Did you also have artificer, or are you strictly a ritualist?
I just have ritualist.
Okay. So you wouldn't know how to build one, but you are pretty sure you understand how it works.
Yeah.
It seems to, you know, it doesn't seem to run on some form of electricity, as Captain America might say. But you know, he steps in and he just shakes his head and he says, "Well, maybe it's a good thing you're here. My alarm went off a few minutes ago." He steps over to a large atlas of the city and takes his watch out and thumps the watch on the atlas, and the book flies open, pages flipping past, and looks down at the atlas, and he looks over to you two and he says, "There's some sort of mystic disturbance outside. I want you two to go check it out. It looks pretty big. I don't know if it's... I don't know if you'll have any trouble finding it," but he holds up the atlas, which seems to show the intersection of I-90 and I-20. He says, "You should be able to find it in this vicinity. If you have any trouble, call me on your library card."
I'm going to fail this class. All right.
They offer it every semester. It's okay.
All right. So I'm going to assume that you two guys change costumes into your superhero ID before going out.
Put on my lucky T-shirt and am ready to go.
I'm always reminded of Super Ted. He says, "I will say my magic word, or my special word, my special T-shirt." Ching! You pull on your special T-shirt and you are now girded for battle.
Right.
All right. You two head up the elevator and run outside and look up to the sky. You're not too far from this side of town. If you were driving by car, you'd only be about 5 minutes away. But you guys have more nimble modes of travel. And you can actually see up in the sky, there's a green halo of flame surrounding what looks like a large black pillar that has shot up into the sky from the middle of from the angle where you're looking from. It kind of looks like it might be coming right out of the highway.
How tall?
It reaches up into the clouds and disappears. It's hard to see exactly what it is from the distance because of the because it's so dark out. Neither of you have dark vision, do you? I do know that Lamplighter does. Tempest and Jade Witch are now leaping into action from the shadows of the rear entrance to the library facility, which is actually cloaked by an illusion. There's a door, but it's hidden from public view. It's got basically a perception filter over it. Nobody can see it. But you guys kind of head out the back and then leap into action. Describe how you guys travel.
Well, depending on the terrain and what's between me and there. I either run real fast or I do the jumping thing. I can jump. Eight is like 1,800 feet. So I can get wherever it is pretty quickly. I do tend to kind of make craters when I land, but
you also have the parkour
right.
power set, so you can kind of move through the city without any real problems getting where you're going. You can mm-hmm. move vertically and swing along. So you're basically and since you're in the center of the city, it's pretty easy for you to jump up to one of the taller buildings and get a view of what you're heading towards. Fortunately for you, the storm doesn't affect you, so
yeah,
you're
nice
you're
little thing
immune to the effects of the thunderstorm, so you actually feel at home out here. You actually kind of feel like a you know, like you run outside, and all of a sudden you feel like a jolt of adrenaline, like you're suddenly awake when you know before you were, you know, feeling your mind go numb trying to do the paper. but all of a sudden you're like, there's a crash of lightning behind you, and you feel energized. Jade Witch, what's it look like when you fly?
There aren't any visible flashy effects. You know, she just flies. She has shielded flight, but that's invisible too. So she just looks like a chick flying through the air.
Excuse me. Well, it's not exactly subtle, so somebody would be able to notice the difference. But so you'd probably have some either visible effect or some noticeable effect, like a disturbance in the air around you, or a glow or something would probably.
You know, I'm just not leaning towards a glow. If it does okay. something to the air, that's cool. I can live with that. But I'm not seeing her as the kind of person who glows.
Okay.
When she flies.
Okay. So you leap into the air and fly along beside him. Are you guys making a point to try and travel together, or is Tempest just gonna, because he's got quite a bit more speed, so he could get there a lot earlier?
Well, I think
is he more of a team player, or is he just kind of going action?
He is a team player, but he sometimes forgets that he travels a lot faster than the rest of the team. And I just rolled a 20, and this is a time when he forgets that Jade Witch doesn't fly that fast. So he's bounded on ahead.
All right. So I'm going to cut back to the lamplighter in a moment here. But before I do, I'm going to have each of you guys kind of pick a color between one of the four colors I have, so that I can determine whose color hero points are which. 'Cause I use poker chips to keep things straight, and I'm going to use my little stacks here to remind me who has how many hero points. So who wants white?
Lamplighter is white.
Lamplighter is white. Okay. So Lamplighter, you now have two hero points. All right, who wants green?
Me, Jade.
Jade will have green. That's very appropriate. And Jade also has two hero points. And people may notice that I'm giving out two hero points, whereas players usually start with one. A couple of reasons for that. I'm giving everybody an award for good role-playing, because everybody participated in some nice descriptions and participated in the role-play. But I'm also... starting off, because we're doing a kind of a shorter format here, I want to encourage players to be more, you know, spendy and have fun with their hero points. So I'm going to start you guys off with an extra one here. All right. I've got red and blue left. Who wants red?
I'll take red.
Okay. I'll be blue then.
Is that Theron picking red?
Yes, that
okay.
was...
And then, so blue goes for Tempest, who has the blue t-shirt, so that makes sense. All right, so those will be my counters here. All right, through the miracle of modern comics, you guys arrive relatively close to each other, but we're going to start with the person who is in the bus first, just because you were kind of starting off in the middle of this action. Stargazer, you were basically slipping out the back, trying to change into your costume without being seen.
I'm not even so concerned about changing into a costume at this point. I'm not sure how much costume I've got, really.
Okay.
Mostly I'm concerned about trying to get out of the bus and get over to the car.
Okay. So you jump out the back. Emergency door swings open pretty easily. Has a little signal that goes off, but you're not too concerned about that since everybody's staring at the giant object in front of the bus. You see the bus driver is kind of, like, distracted as he stares up and up and up, and you kind of look up briefly as a flash of lightning illuminates, which is unmistakably a giant beanstalk, which erupts from the ground, like, right in the middle of the highway, and, like, just goes up into the sky, out of sight.
Not in Morgansville anymore, that's for sure.
And then there's a whoosh sound, and you look over and see there's a puddle of gas next to the car, which is floating on top of the water, and it's burning despite the rain. Inside the car, which is on its side, you can actually see through the window. You see looks like a woman and a man in the car, some teenage youths, but the girl seems like she's trying to pull the guy out of the driver's seat, and he's not moving. But she's also on her side, so she's having trouble getting out.
Okay. So it's on fire, but not entirely engulfed, right?
Right.
I can try and get over to the passenger compartment.
Mm-hmm.
All right. While I'm doing that, I'm going to shout, "There's people trapped in this car." I don't know if I can back that up with a little, since my mental communication is area.
Okay. That would allow you to like
kind of put the idea in people's heads, as it were.
Well, let's say. I mean, you might freak them out if you send a thought right into their minds, or it might grab their attention. Let's take a look at your character here. You have a pretty good presence, and you have a rank in perception or persuasion. Let's call that a persuasion check, and go ahead and roll a persuasion check on that.
Okay. Oh, that's not a good roll. That was only a 10. I'm thinking about spending a hero point.
A 10 on the die or 10 total?
10 total.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking about spending a hero point there to re-roll it and get at least a plus 10.
Okay.
So I think I will do that. So burn a hero point.
Okay.
Oh, that's much better. I rolled a 15, so that's a 20 total.
Okay. You start shouting and then realize they can't hear you over the storm and send your thoughts to them. And you see a group of the people kind of turn and in surprise and look over at you. And then the bus driver and a couple of the other big guys all run over to try and help you get these people out of the car. So you guys are going to be doing a team action here. It's
going to be more athletic than me.
Yes. So let's call it there. I'm going to have the other players each roll a d20 and just give me the raw number and tell me what you guys roll.
Ooh, a big 3.
People are dying here.
6.
6?
Yep.
And Jason, what'd you get?
Well, that was.
I got a 17. Oh, Rick got a. Tempest got a 17.
Oh, okay. So we got a 17, a 6, and a 3. And, so let's see, 17 is going to be I'm going to say this is difficulty of 5. It's a fairly mundane task of trying to pull these people out. You're just trying to do it in time before the fire becomes a problem. So let's see. With a difficulty of 5, I had 1 failure and then 2 successes plus the 17, which is actually, let's see, that would be, it's not 2 or 3 successes. That would be 3 successes. So you actually get a total of 5 successes. So the group of you are all able to hustle the girl out of the car and hand her off to the other guys and then pull this other guy out just as like the fire kind of leaps up on top of the car, and you all like run to the other side of the bus as the car goes and explodes. At this point, the lamplighter is arriving. You arrive in the vicinity. Since you crossed over the town, I'm going to say you arrive on one of the taller buildings that stands next to the highway. It's one of the we'll call it the Cartoon Network building. Okay. And
well, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time.
There we go.
Indeed. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
No problem.
All right, so the lamplighter arrives on the scene, and you see a car burning and a group of people rescuing somebody from the car. But more importantly, you see a giant beanstalk that has apparently grown out from underneath this this bridge that they're on. It's an overpass, and erupted right through the southbound lanes of the highway here. Wrecking the highway. You see cars are already piling up, trying to stop and not seeing what's going on in the rain very well. There are enough cars backed up where people are starting to slow down, and it's not an immediate crisis as far as the traffic is concerned, but you do have a giant beanstalk in front of you, which is definitely something you've never seen before.
There's something you don't see every day. The lamplighter, I'm really envying Tempest's parkour setup. I may have to buy those powers.
Seriously, in the power profiles talents available now from Green Ronin.
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's actually...
Until I get those, I'm going to have to rely on my acrobatics and much better athletic skills to get down from the height I am at. Unless I can teleport. If I can...
You can teleport.
It takes me... an extra round, because I have to always use extended teleport.
Right, so extended, correct me if I'm wrong, basically means that you use a full turn to move instead of just one action.
Yeah, and it means, my envision behind the teleport was that he uses it for very long distances. So if it's just getting down from the top of a building, he might just, you know, find a way to jump it or climb it. But if he's, you know, way high up, then yeah, he would teleport.
Okay. I just figured you wouldn't have probably teleported into the middle of the street without knowing what was going on first.
Yeah, well, I can't see it, right? I mean, right. I have to teleport to a place that I know, so...
Yeah.
So I would have had to go high up, yeah.
So...
Well, then I'll just teleport down onto the top of the bus. Okay.
Yeah, it takes 2 move actions, so it's basically a full turn action for you to teleport, as opposed to just... Most of the time you get a move and an attack or other standard action.
Yep.
You have to use both of yours to move.
All right. So I'll just beam straight down onto the top of the bus where Starchild has been in his civilian identity rescuing people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or okay. You have a special sound effect you can use, but you appear down there.
I may have to go with Fazark.
Fazark.
Yeah.
For Zark.
Cyclops' old sound effect from X-Men.
Okay.
Anyway, he'll zat down there in this huge light beam, and then hopefully I'm near to the crowd of people that are hiding, they have just gotten out of the car, and I'll just ask, you know, is everybody there all right?
Okay. I'm going to be operating under the assumption that Lamplighter has already started to build a reputation in the city.
I hope that would be great. Okay. I will totally take that if you offer that.
Okay. That's kind of my assumption, at least as a crime fighter. Are you also the type who goes out and rescues people, too, or are you primarily known as a crime fighter?
Well, I guess he's primarily a crime fighter because his power set does not lend himself well to damage control.
Okay. All right. Since most of these guys are out of towners, they kind of look up in confusion.
Yeah.
A little kid who's kind of still, trying to get around to see people, turns around and looks up and he goes, "Wow, it's Batman!" and his mother grabs him by the hand and says, "There's no such thing as Batman. That's a real superhero." And
You're overhearing that, perhaps Starchild shouts out, "We've got some hurt people down here."
All right, Lamplighter will light up the area so that everybody can see. He jumps down off the bus with this sort of cone light effect coming out of his chest, and he'll head over to the injured.
Okay. You're bending down to help the injured, and shining a light for everyone to see. Actually, which does help counter the effects of the storm, because it does make it very difficult to see. So it lights up the area around the bus pretty well. You see a lot of other people kind of in the cars that are coming to a halt behind you guys. Some people are getting out and looking up at this giant obstruction. Some of them are just kind of trying to turn their cars around and getting into a huge traffic jam, but you actually see a group of people getting out of their cars and kind of running over to help when they see the fire. At that point, we're going to say that Tempest arrives. All right, Tempest, I'm going to say that you're coming from the north end of... Actually, you're heading straight west, so you're jumping towards this big dark shape, kind of threading your way through the city, and then you clear the tops of the buildings at one point, and the lightning flashes, and you see it's a beanstalk. Of all the things for this to be, it's a giant beanstalk.
Well, Tempest says, "Wow, Jade, I left her back there, didn't I?" And he hits his head. He face palms. But then there's the big light and people who are hurt. So you were saying that the cars are like trying to turn around. Is there like a median that is keeping them from turning around?
Well, this is a... about halfway through an overpass, and mm-hmm. the highway is actually divided here. It's three lanes going in each direction, but there's two separate bridges. They're not connected, so they can't really. There's a bit of room on the sides for emergency lanes, but of course, everybody trying to turn around at the same time means they're all getting in each other's way.
They're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
not anytime soon. As you're kind of dropping into the area, you notice that, actually make a perception check since you've got kind of the most aerial view so far.
Well, I rolled a big fat one, so, the dice are not loving Tempest today, but that gives him a whopping six.
Okay. Yeah, you don't see anything.
I got nothing.
Except for the big shiny light on the ground. So you head over to the bus, and you see a big flaming car wreck there. It looks like people have just pulled some victims out, but it is burning quite close to the bus. So you might want to move that.
Okay, so is this overpass over more highway or?
No, city streets below it.
Okay.
Yeah, but the city streets are fairly well deserted right now.
Okay, I will pick up the car,
mm-hmm.
and jump down to the city streets, and if there's a fire hydrant down there, I'll try to land near one of those so that I can kick the fire hydrant open and put this car out.
Okay. Let's see. So you jump down and actually, let me see here. You're looking around for a place to dump this car. Mm-hmm. You're basically standing there with a big flaming car in your hands.
Yeah.
And you're looking for a fire hydrant. We'll say that kind of ends your turn. Jade Witch, you're flying in. I presume you're kind of taking the aerial approach, or are you trying to go nap of the earth for any particular reason?
No, I'm staying up.
Okay. Trying to get a good aerial view of what you're seeing. As you approach and you see this giant, big, green, twisting tower that rises up into the sky, and just this impossible thing.
So we're talking about a giant plant that is growing out of city streets, mm-hmm. busting through two overpasses and still going.
Yeah, and it's
that's
like
what
stretching
we're talking
up
about.
Yeah, into the thunderstorm.
Okay. So we have two broken bridges. What kind of shape are the bridges in?
It only broke through the southbound overpass.
Oh, okay.
So the northbound one seems to be unaffected.
Okay, so how about the two sides that are still standing? Do they seem stable, or do they look like they're going to collapse worse?
You'd need to fly underneath them to check, but
okay, I'll
make,
do that.
Make a perception as you're arriving.
Sure. 11 and 11, 22.
Okay. The first thing you notice is that, because of your detectability, that yes, this is a magical beanstalk, which did not surprise you, but, you also notice that, where it grew up, you can see that some pieces of the bridge kind of got picked up on some of the leaves and the quote-unquote branches, the twisting vines coming off of it snagged it, and you actually see what looks like an armored van of some kind. It's hard to see from where you are because it's so dark, but looks like it's about 100 feet in the air.
Oh.
Caught up in some of the tangles of the vine.
Okay. How caught is it? Is it in danger of falling, or
do you want to fly over to it and investigate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You soar up to it just as you do, you see that it's like cracked open. And the back of it. As you get closer, you see that it has a federal symbol on the side, and it says "Federal Prisoner Transport" on the side of the thing.
Oh joy! Okay.
And as you approach, you see a surge of mystic energy from inside the thing, and the back of the truck just erupts, not with fire but with water. And you see a woman in an orange jumpsuit soar up into the air as all the rain around her. It's a very strange effect at first. You see those rain is coming pouring down from the sky, and then all of a sudden it just seems to stop and kind of start twisting around her. So all these raindrops, and as they collect in, it becomes a whirlpool around her, and she lands on top of one of the nearby leaves, and just seems to be pulling in more and more of this water.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm going to roll. All right. I am going to have everybody roll initiative at this point.
Hey!
All right. New combat. Look up what her initiative is real quick.
James?
Okay, so, yeah, give me a second here. I gotta enter in a number here for her. There we go. All right, so Starchild, what's your initiative?
Total of 18.
Total of 18. Okay, Tempest, what's your initiative?
23.
Okay. The Lamplighter.
Yeah, if I don't have a skill, I'm just adding agility or dex?
There should be an initiative bonus, which is based off of... why is that not highlighting? I always want to say the wrong thing, because when they split agility and dex up... I always have it listed next to my character sheet, so give me a second. I believe that would be...
It must be based on agility, because mine is a plus one, and my agility is a one.
Yeah, 17. Yeah. 17.
Okay, so 17 total for the Lamplighter.
Yep.
And click there. And then Jade Witch, what's your total?
Coming in firmly at the blast and with a big 11.
All right.
Woohoo.
All right, resort. All right. So the first person to go is going to be Tempest, but he's not aware of what's going on above right now. He's still looking for a place to ditch this car when Tempest is, let's see, I'm rolling a perception check for you to see what you see.
Okay.
And no, you're still looking for that fire hydrant. You turn around and... you manage to find a fire hydrant, which is conveniently easy to see because it's not being pelted by water, so it's actually sheltered by some of the plant above you. And you run over and kick it open and douse the car in the water?
Yeah.
Okay, putting that out. All right.
See, last time I would have thrown the car, and it might have gone through a building, so this time I... just carry it.
All right, Starchild, you're up next.
Yeah, having had the shocking realization that I'm kind of exposed here and that someone might have noticed me doing stuff, I'm going to fall back on my nature of trying to, like, kind of hide. So what I'm going to do is a combination of trying to get out of the way, and then this beanstalk looks interesting. I want to fly up closer and look at it. But once I know people aren't looking at me.
Okay.
So you're doubling, I'm guessing the stealth check.
Yeah, you're doubling back, and you notice that people are moving away from the edge of the thing now because the bridge is creaking a little bit.
Yeah, I'm also providing a huge distraction to make it easier for Starshot.
And with the rain and the thunder and the pouring rain, it's really hard for anyone to distinguish somebody in from a distance. So you've got great cover here for kind of pulling back from the crowd, and you just kind of leap into the air and.
Well, we have a moment of my head goes back and. His eyes turn pitch black with spiral galaxies showing, and then I begin to just lift off the ground.
Okay.
Up into the night sky.
Sweet.
And I've got 900 feet flight, so I imagine I can.
Yep.
Get fairly up. To
all right. As you're floating up, you see you catch up to the area where. Jade is, and Jade's not exactly being stealthy at the moment. So
I'm trying. I am trying to be. But.
Yeah. Make a stealth check.
Okay. Yeah, that's a total of 27. So between the wind, the rain,
very sneaky.
Dark.
Yeah. Not even Jade Witch sees you. All right. You soar up and are watching from a distance, and you see this woman in this orange jumpsuit. Who seems to be pulling all this water into her, and like forming like a water blob around her that kind of swirls and is constantly spinning and swirling around her.
Okay.
And she's wearing a prison orange uniform.
I can't.
You also see that there are two guards in the front of the prison van who don't seem able to get out because they're hanging over the edge of a leaf and there's nowhere for them to go.
Okay.
Let's see. Actually, Jade Witch is green and Starchild is red, right?
Right.
Yes.
All right. I'm giving you two guys each a hero point for the people in peril, the two guards that you have to, you'll need to try and rescue them. In the meanwhile, let's see who goes next. Starchild, did you want to try and take an action before the end of your turn?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not yet.
All right. Lamplighter.
Yeah.
Make a perception check.
I'm plus, shoot. 12.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just rolling my base awareness, because I don't actually have perception.
Okay. You're trying to push people back, and yes, that's correct. You're trying to get people back away from the edge, there's a crashing noise behind you, and you turn to see a tire bouncing off the top of one of the empty cars. And okay. You look up from where the tire fell and see about 100 feet up, there's a truck of some kind tangled in the roots, or not in the roots, in the vines of the giant beanstalk.
Well, I'm expecting a giant any second, so... do I see Jade Witch flying up there?
Let's see. Actually, yes. You can see a figure up there in green. It's really she's lit for a moment by a bolt of lightning. But it is, and you've got if you shine your light up there, you can see them.
And there's no sign, but I don't see the water controlling woman in the orange.
Actually, that is a question for you. Are you going to angle your light up there so you can try and see them better?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You shine your light up there, and immediately she, you catch her attention. You see what looks like a figure silhouetted. It actually looks like a little tornado of water up there. It's hard to see what it is, but from your angle, and then your light hits it, and you can kind of see it looks like a person in a big blob of water, wearing an orange jumpsuit.
All right, now there's people all around me on the expressway, right?
Right.
And there's nowhere to really fight on the ground that isn't surrounded by people.
You can run out closer to the edge. The people have been pulling back from the edge, so there is some open space there. There's also the street at street level, or you could start climbing up the beanstalk, and there are large roots and things. It looks fairly easily climbable. But you're not sure how quickly you could get up there.
Yeah, 100 feet, that's not going to happen real fast. All right, well, you know what? I think what I'll do right now is I'll just head out then towards the edge, with the broken edge, where the I guess it's where the beanstalk has broken through.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you say that there's no people?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to keep the woman in the water blob illuminated.
Mm-hmm.
As I run towards the edge of the of the overpass. I'm just worried that if we start getting into a fight, I don't want any innocent people to get caught in the back blast.
Okay.
So I'll keep her illuminated and sort of do my spotlight routine for a minute, and then just run toward the edge, and we'll see what she decides to do next.
Okay. So that's your action.
Yeah.
And now it is her turn. The woman looks down and like shields her eyes from the light for a moment, and then just shrieks, and she says, "You!" and dives off of her position, and just like for a moment is in free fall, and as she's falling through the air, like huge amounts of the rain just start falling upwards towards her and like gathering around, and by the time she comes close to the ground, she's suddenly standing on what looks like a pillar of water spout.
Sure.
That's like surrounding her, and she's her eyes are like glowing a sea green, and she says, "You freaks, all of you! I won't let you stop me again." And she excuse me, losing my voice here. She lunges towards you, and this huge water spout around her kind of tries to sweep you away. Make a dodge check.
Yeah, you bet. Bad roll. So 4 plus 12 is 16.
16.
Yeah.
All right. That actually catches you in the full strength of it. So you're actually going to be rolling against the move object effect here.
Okay.
So this is going to be either your strength or your dodge, whichever is higher.
My dodge is much higher.
Okay, so you're going to roll a dodge check to avoid being grabbed.
But again, dice hate me. So 3 plus 12 is 15.
3 plus 12 is 15. Okay.
You have hero points.
No, I'm perfectly willing to get sucked up by the whirlpool so that the rest of you guys can show off. I'm all for that.
All right.
There's four of us here. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically, what was your total again of 14?
15.
Which is less than the effect of the move object. So it pulls you in.
Yep.
And you start spinning around as it tries to crush the life out of you.
Awesome.
And you find yourself spinning around this woman, this crazed woman.
Okay.
Is the end of her turn.
Yeah.
And she says, I will not be, he's like, I will not be swayed from my purpose. I am a goddess. I am Calypso. And then,
with a beanstalk.
Yeah, that doesn't really seem to match up, does it?
No.
Something funny is going on here. All right. Jade Witch, it's your turn.
All right, with my create power, the Mystic Constructs power, can I use that to get those guys down? Do I have enough to make them a ladder? Do I have enough to make them a ramp? It says I've got 125 cubic feet, but they're 100 feet up.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can either make like a rope ladder that would let them that would probably reach the ground. They could climb down that. Or if you wanted to try and create a platform and then carry them down, that would be another option. But if you basically want to empower them to get down by themselves, you could like create a rope ladder.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going because, you know, they don't need to have their buddies for the rest of their lives going, "Oh, you got saved by your hero." So I'll make them a nice rope ladder so they can get down.
Jade,
at least
Jade Witch, always the enabler, never the rescuer.
Always considerate.
Well, that comes from real life. My husband is a cop, and I know how they treat each other. He will never hear the end of it if I save him, so therefore I'm going to build him a rope ladder.
All right. So, I believe that just takes a standard action. Did you want to use your other action to move anywhere, or are you going to stay up here out of the line of water as it might be?
She's focused downward, right? She's focused.
Right. She's focused on the beacon of light.
Powers.
She apparently didn't notice you at first, or didn't seem to care about you. You don't think she actually saw you, but she instantly saw the light and just went for it. You saw her go from like, "Yay, I'm free," to "I'm going to kill whatever that is." Like
right.
A complete manic switch of personality.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stay out of her line of sight and just worry about helping those guys get down for right this minute.
Okay. So that would be the Jade Witch's turn. All right. And next round. Tempest, starting off with you.
Okay.
You've managed to douse the car, and you stand there proudly watching it smolder in smoke. going, ha ha, I saved the day.
Yeah. So and turning you, around to look back up.
You turn around and look back up, and you see what looks like a 30-foot tall water spout spinning on the top of the bridge, and there's something like shining out of it that's whipping around in circles.
Is Batman like, stuck in the middle? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like a really sped up lighthouse with the light kind of spinning around.
Okay, so one of my powers is a mystical awareness at range.
And the moment she kicked in this whirlpool and lunged in, you kind of caught it caught your attention. So you're fully aware that that there's a mystic creature, and actually, roll a perception check.
Okay. I am not perception check guy. I got an 8.
All right. You're not sure exactly what it is. You do know that the power went off, but you kind of recognize. This is not just you're around a lot of like hermetic magic and other and other people using mystic powers and sorcery, but this feels more like innate powers, like your own powers, more mythical.
Okay. Well, I believe that being the case, I will try to leap up and grab this crazy lady in her water spout.
So you're going to try and grapple her? Or
yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you jump up into action, and you're going to try and get in close and try and grab her. Okay. Yeah. So let's see. We are going to do this as... roll a grab it. You don't have... Okay, you're not using fast grab. You're not trying to hit her first. You're just trying to grab her.
I'm just...
Alright. Yeah. Do you have a grab attack skill or...
No. I think I just use my base...
Okay. So
unarmed for that.
Yeah, actually, unarmed would be only for punches and kicks. So your grab is actually a different bonus number.
Yeah,
so
my grab is...
plus 6
is lower. Yeah.
So yeah.
Plus 6. All right. I'm looking on.
So roll a grab attack to see if you can grab her.
Okay, I got a 17.
All right, 17. So that actually misses. What happens is you jump in to try and grab her. Actually, I'm going to let you describe the miss, but she is surrounded by this column of spinning water. So you didn't quite grab her, so I'll let you describe how
your
miss goes.
I'll say, since she's surrounded by this column of water, that he tried to kind of just leap through it and grab her, but it was spinning so fast, he kind of got caught in it, and it spun him around a few times and spat him out the other side.
Okay. All right. So you go flying out the other side, and that brings us to... So that was a move and a combat action. So our next character is Starchild.
Okay. So this guy has jumped out of nowhere and grabbed her.
He tried, but he missed.
He tried, but he failed. Okay.
He got spat out of the water spout. And the water spout keeps getting bigger. You notice that it's not raining in your immediate vicinity anymore because all the rain comes down and collects around her.
Okay.
And creates this big water spout.
Well, she doesn't know where I am. She doesn't even know I'm here. So I'm going to try and blind her.
Okay.
And I don't even need to roll to hit that. She just needs to make a DC 18 will save.
Will check. All right. Yeah. All right. And, all right, she actually resists that.
Okay.
So, what's the description of your blinding? What do you do?
I try to
people?
Reach out and essentially shut down that part of her brain.
Okay.
That helps her to perceive.
All right. All right. That actually caught her attention, and she spins around and is like looking around, and somehow, her eyes shoot straight towards where you are. You are hovering in the air, right?
Yes, I am hovering in the air, and my flight power is distracting, so I'm vulnerable.
Yep. Okay. So she caught where you are. So she's aware of where you are. All right. The lamplighter gets to go.
So am I? Is this game mechanics wise? What do I have to do to get out of this thing?
You need to roll either an acrobatics or athletics check. And again, you can use the better of those two. And those are based on, if you don't have the skills, which I'm sure you have at least one of them, but those are based on your strength and agility, respectively.
Yep. Okay. I've got both, but I'm better at athletics.
Okay.
So is it just a move action to break out, or is it a full round?
It depends on how well you roll. Let me grab it from the book here and describe it for you real quick. let's see. Grab me out of the book. And this is something that's some people have a little difficulty because they did change the rules going from second edition to third edition. Sure. They simplified it, but some people haven't been picking up on how it's described. So you're basically doing an escape maneuver, which is a combat action, and that is it's actually a move action. You attempt to escape from a successful grab. If you succeed, you end the grab and move away from your opponent up to your normal ground speed minus one rank. If you fail, you're still grabbed. So, okay, it's not based on... I was thinking about the actual grab action, which is qualitative and determines how badly grabbed you were. Okay. So, in this case, you just make an athletics or acrobatics check, and then the difficulty is going to be the effect value of her power plus 10.
Okay, can I attack from inside the water spout?
Yes, but okay. that would be in lieu of
that would be that would only be an attack action. I'd still have a move action.
Right. Okay. So did you want to try and escape first, or you want to try and attack first?
I'm going to dazzle her. I'm going to use the lamp flashes out incredibly brightly, and this is an area cone power. So I figure that I should be able to catch her, even though I'm spinning around like I'm stuck in a laundry machine.
Yep. You're basically orbiting her, so all you have to do is kind of turn inward. And
so an area power doesn't need to attack, right?
That is correct. She basically has to roll a reflex check to avoid looking into the light.
It's specifically resisted by will.
Area effects first get a reflex or a dodge check to avoid the area, and then the will check comes in second.
Check. Got it.
So she rolls a 19 on the die for her dodge check, which means that's pretty good. So she manages to reduce the effectiveness of it by half by bringing her hand up in time.
All right.
What's the normal difficulty class? Is it 10?
Normally it's 10, but now it's 5.
Okay. So she rolls against a 15 for her will check and resists that.
All right. Okay. Well, so that sucked. All right. So I'm going to try and break... I'm going to try and break out of the water spout.
Okay. Roll the better of your two skills.
I've got hero points ready on this one. I'm willing to let her beat me around for a round, but now this has gone on too long. It's starting to get embarrassing. It's going to take forever to get the water out of these tights. I rolled a 19 plus 7 is 26.
26. Okay. That does break free, so you managed to... I'll let you describe how your escape works.
Well, the light sort of flashes out incredibly brightly, and she has to put her hand up to cover it. But while she's distracted, I'm able to slip out through the bottom of the water spout and roll away.
Okay. All right, you managed to break free of it and move a certain distance out of its reach.
All right, so I see some heroes around now, right? Because the Tempest is here, but I don't know who he is.
The Tempest is fairly new on the scene, so you haven't seen him before, and Jade Witch is fairly new. These are people who have used to be kind of low-key. But you do recognize that he has... a quote-unquote costume. Go ahead, Tempest, and describe what your outfit is like right now.
Tempest dresses kind of like the Blur from Smallville.
No.
Well, kind of. He's got a big dark coat that's kind of flappy in the breeze.
Yeah.
And though he wears just like regular blue jeans and a t-shirt kind of like Kevin Matchsticks from Mage.
Oh yeah, I know it well.
So it's a lightning bolt on a red t-shirt.
Oh, it's red?
Oh, right. No, it's blue. Sorry. Okay. I kept going back and forth when I was playing with the colors. On a blue t-shirt. And he doesn't wear a mask, but it doesn't seem to be a problem for him.
Right.
All right. And he's got, like, red hair, and you said he had a beard, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's very, very Norse-looking, big, strapping, heroic type. All right. Let's see. That was...
me.
Yeah, that was the lamplighter. I'm just trying to think of who else in the area. You see a figure who's kind of floating around in the air. Actually, no, you wouldn't. You don't see him yet. You're too focused on Calypso. And you do see Tempest and you see Jade Witch. Starchild is still being sneaky, except Calypso notices him because she was able to resist his mental blindness.
Is talking still free?
Yeah.
Then I will point towards Calypso and I will say, Calypso, give it up. There's four of us and how many of us do I see? Three?
Yeah.
There's three of us and only one of you. This can only end one way. That's it.
Okay. All right. Calypso laughs manically and she says, "Fools, none of you can stop me. It's like, it doesn't matter if there's an army. You're all mortals. I am a goddess." And, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, she is, I didn't really describe her very well. She's, now that you're closer, you can actually see. She is, dark-skinned, maybe, like, coffee-colored skin.
Yeah.
And, her hair is done up in cornrows and pulled back. She's got, and again, she's kind of got her orange jumpsuit pulled up around her elbows, exposing her forearms. And the water around her seems to flow around her arms, but also seems to kind of almost flow through her at points. It almost seems like the more she's in the water, like she starts to shift towards like a bluish tint and like she's becoming one with it. Calypso turns up to face Starchild and she says, it's like, "You cannot defeat a goddess. Not even if you use your vile witchcraft. You mutant thing." And
oh, that's just rude.
Yeah, wow, she's not a very polite person.
Really none of the above either, so yeah.
She gestures up at Starchild and all of a sudden a lot of the water kind of gathers up around her arm and fires off like a giant cannon, like a water cannon at you. Oops. So I'm rolling and need to pick my die up and roll back on the table. There we go. Oh, okay. That's a good roll for you. Not so much for her. Let's see. Starchild has a dodge of 12, right?
Right. Halved, okay. Because I'm...
Halved, so it's a 6. So she has to hit a 16. And she actually rolls... Where is it? Her water blast is actually an attack bonus of 10. So she only... Actually, she hit a 12, so she misses you.
Oh, okay.
Gush of water shoots out and actually blasts some of the giant leaves off of the giant vine, and they kind of drift away in the wind. One, two, and with high rolls for everybody, you guys all happen to notice that as the water kind of tears into this giant vine and the pieces of it fly off, as they separate from the main body of the vine, they seem to, like, disintegrate and disappear.
Hmm.
Like, the vine is less than real.
Interesting.
Well, so much for using a giant leaf as a hang glider.
You could probably get away with it, but only for a round.
Okay. Desperation move, then.
All right, so that was Calypso's action. She's too arrogant to do any movement. She's going to stay right here and let you guys bring the party to her. Jade Witch.
Yes.
All right, you've helped these two guards. They are now scrambling to try and get to safety, climbing down this rope ladder in the rain. You have the option of trying to help them some more, or you can turn around and help confront Calypso. What are you going to do?
No, they're okay now. They can do their own thing. I'll smack her. I'll see if I can hit her in the back of the head with a bolt of magic.
All right. Do you have a special name you call out for any of these spells, like the Crimson Bands of Sitorak or anything like that?
Oh, goodness, no.
Okay. So you're more of the Dr. Fate type, point and blast.
Yeah, definitely a point and blast. Yeah, she's not... for somebody who throws bolts of magic around, she's not that flashy.
Okay.
Is that a total and complete ridiculous statement?
All right.
All righty. So what am I doing here? I'm rolling.
You're going to... let's see. Just double-checking. Your spell is not perception range. It's normally ranged, right?
I have damage 12, DC 27, increased range, ranged on my sheet.
Okay, so yeah, damage 12, you have a plus 8 to hit with that. All right.
Okay.
So
that would be, that's nice. That would be a 27 total.
Nice.
27 on the die roll. All right. She would have to have 17 dodge to avoid that, and she does not. Excuse me. Wait a minute. Yes, no, I was correct. So, yeah, you hit her with your Mystic Bolt, and is that... Excuse me. Was there any special advantages on the attack, or does she make a normal toughness save against that?
It's just a straight-ahead bolt. There's no fancy stuff attached to it, at least not yet.
Okay, good. Just double-checking, because sometimes people want to... make save versus will or something for magic. All right. So in this case, she makes a toughness check, and it's the damage is 12. So she rolls. So she actually has to beat 12 plus 15, which is the difficulty class for damage. So she has to roll higher than a 27, and in this case, she does not. So let's see. Damage plus 12. 20. So she actually takes a solid hit and is dazed and gets a minus one bruise. So she loses an action for next round. So let's see here.
Vile witchcraft indeed.
All right. So that was a move and an attack action. So that's the end of Jade Witch's turn. Was there any, like, did you want to communicate with the other heroes, or are you, did you want to say anything, or are you done with your action?
No, I think I'm done. It looks to me like we all are on the same page. Everybody can see who the bad guy is, and everybody is trying to do the same thing, which is deal with her and keep her from hurting anybody, so there's not a lot to say yet.
Okay. All right, flipping around to the next turn, Tempest gets to go again.
Okay, this time with less missing.
Same as less, but less suck. Yeah.
This time I'm not going to try a grab, since I'm not as good as grabbing. And she says she's a goddess, and so they're known to be pretty tough. So I will just try to leap up and punch her through the water.
Is she dazed?
She's dazed, but that only affects her ability to take actions on her next turn.
Okay. In
second edition and before, being dazed reduced your dodge or your or your defenses.
Mm-hmm.
But in third edition, that no longer is the case. So when you get dazed, it only affects the number of actions you can take.
Well, okay.
That was what people called the death spiral, and they've done a lot to kind of remove that for third edition.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Tempest is going to do another jump, and this time he's going to do an attack.
Yes, and I first rolled a 2, but then I decided I'm going to spend a hero point and rolled again.
So you're
and,
down to 1, right? 1 hero point.
Yeah,
left
I'm down to 1. And I got a 7, but it's at least 10 plus, so that's a 17, plus my unarmed of 8, so 25.
Okay, that's a hit. Whack. All right, your damage for this attack is what?
27 DC.
Okay, so you actually have a 12 strength, mm-hmm. and she has to roll against a 27 DC. So she is going to roll with her toughness check. Which is currently blah 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 blah. There. All right. Minus 1 means she missed it by 3 points. Okay, she's got another bruise. All right.
And I will say, God Schmod, you aren't all that.
All right. You want to describe how your combat round goes? You want to describe how the attack looks?
Yeah, he kind of jumps and is kind of doing that winding up with the fist cocked back, and as he splashes through the column of water, he hits her with a solid left to the midsection.
All right.
And then he continues on the ballistic arc down on the other side.
Okay. All right.
Oh, wait. Sorry, I don't have move by action, so I must have stopped in the column.
Ah, yes. Okay. So you're actually within unarmed range of her still.
Right.
Okay. So in this case, you're kind of standing like... You drop to the ground within 5 feet of her, I'll say. You're still kind of... She hasn't picked you up in the water spout, but you're kind of, like, in the middle of it. Your hair being whipped around by the spray. There's still air in here, but it's being... You know, the water's being driven through the air. It's kind of a stinging spray. But you are a god of storms, and this is, like, nothing to you.
Ha-ha!
So you're like, ah, it's a spring shower. All right, that's Tempest's action. Starchild.
Yeah. Okay, we got a couple of heroes up around here, and I'm going to mentally broadcast to the heroes about I'll set her up, you take her out, and I'm going to since she's now seen me, I'm going to kick in my flight and fly like I'm coming right at her at the last minute, cut it off, and essentially plummet out of the way. So this is a deception check for a setup.
All right.
I can always catch myself before I hit the ground.
Okay. So you're going to use a deception check and try to set her up for how many ranks of setup did you take?
I have 2, so I can set up 2 allies who conveniently still have yet to go.
Okay.
All right.
So that would be Lamplighter and Jade Witch.
Sweet.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is a deception check against either her insight or deception, whichever is higher.
Mm-hmm.
And my check, I rolled a 22.
So it's versus her deception, was it? Wait.
Deception or insight, whichever
insight.
Is higher.
Okay. And what was your total?
22.
22. Okay, yeah. You've managed to, you fake her out. She gets ready and you drop out of sight. And, you know, she she spins to follow your movements and is momentarily distracted from the others. So she is vulnerable to attack for both Lamplighter and Jade Witch.
Yes.
All right.
Beautiful.
So that was your action. And let's see who's next. That would be... and by the way, for folks listening at home, I'm using the Tactical Console in Hero Lab by Lone Wolf. Lone Wolf software. I can never remember the third part of their name. But if you want Hero Lab, you can. There's a thread on the Atomic Think Tank forums that talks about it. But you can also download the free demo from their website and try it out. It's a good character building software, but it also allows you to keep track of combat, which is what I'm using it for today. So that's how I'm keeping my notes straight. The Lamplighter gets to attack. Now he has an opportunity to attack with her vulnerable.
So what's
her an easier target?
Is that the benefit? What did the setup give me?
Basically, it makes her vulnerable, which means her dodge and her parry are both reduced by half. Okay.
All right. So I will light her up. So I will extra effort and then spend a hero point to cancel out that extra effort. Right. The fatigue. Okay. Okay. So that will raise the rank of the lamp to 11 from 10.
Okay.
And then I'll bean her. I rolled a 17 and I'm plus 10, so that's 27.
Okay. So 17 plus 10. So it hits a 27. That definitely hits her vulnerable state. Now, you've gone ahead and rolled, but what I might suggest is before I say whether you hit or not, would you be interested, or would you want to do a power attack here since she's vulnerable?
Oh, I see. Because
one thing everybody can do, even if you haven't bought the advantage, everybody can do up to a minus 2. Plus 2 trade-off with power attack.
Yeah, I'm not used to that. I'm used to second edition. Yes, please. So that would reduce my... Because that would take up... Is that the same benefit that I get from the setup? Do I get plus 2 from that?
The setup actually reduces her defenses, her active defenses by half.
Yeah, my attack's pretty good. So yeah, let's take the power attack. So that subtracts 2.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of a 27, I have a 25.
Mm-hmm.
And the damage will be 13.
Okay, so that still hits, and now she has to roll against a damage of 13 instead of the 11.
Yeah.
Okay. And roll my die. 7 versus 20 versus 13. All right. And then she's taken 2 bruises, so that goes 1, 2 more columns over. And she's still dazed, a minus 1 penalty, but she's accruing penalties pretty quickly here. So,
well, stuff in the Lamplighter was that he sort of hit her with a spotlight and then just sort of got more and more focused. And it sort of like went around her until it was like aimed right at her chest. And then it suddenly.
Okay. Bang. Yep. So she's got 3 bruises so far, which means she has a minus 3 to each of her toughness checks. She's gotten up close to minus 5 bruises. When you have minus 5 cumulative penalties to your toughness checks, it's almost like everybody's damage, you know, goes up by a whole damage class, if you will. So she's definitely starting to feel it. And
we've left it for Jade Witch to finish her off.
Ooh, ooh.
Okay. But before Jade Witch goes, Calypso gets a chance to go.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, Reggie.
She is dazed.
Yep, she's dazed. She has 1 action. But she sort of cowers for a moment and, like, looks in shock and horror at Tempest for a moment. And she says, she just kind of spits out, "Traitor, you would attack one of your own. I will have my revenge." And she is going to try and flee. She is her... water spout kind of twists faster in the air and propels her off of the highway and across the city. She's heading due east. Looks like she's heading across the city.
Towards the ocean, probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
Is she just dazed or is she staggered as well at this point?
She's just dazed so far. Okay. She hasn't taken a staggered yet.
Okay.
And they don't accumulate. Like, if you're already dazed and you get hit with another dazed, it doesn't get worse. You're just
dazed. Only staggered does that. Basically, if you're staggered and you get hit with another staggered, you're out of the fight.
Okay.
But dazed times two just means that you're still dazed. But since she has had her turn, she is no longer dazed after this turn. So she gets to remove that. But what happens is that she kind of whips up the water in a fury, and it's propelling her along. You get the feeling that if she had more water at her disposal, she could be traveling faster. But right now, she's still traveling pretty quickly. She heads off at about, 60, 80 miles an hour.
Wow.
Man, I really need more flight speed. I'm the slowest one here. This is not good.
All right. So, but she's still within range of your attacks. She's just increased the range distance from you, and... So you can move to chase her, and since she's going through the city, she kind of has to thread her way through the buildings. So you can try and use a skill to make it easier for you to approach her.
Well, what I'm wondering right now is, will my nullify work on her? Are these magical powers that she's using, or is this something else?
Yes, she seems to be magical in nature.
All right, let me see if I can just shut her down. Can I nullify her flight?
Basically what you would do is you would cast a hex, your dispel would shatter her control over the water until she had a chance to reestablish it.
Mm, okay. Alrighty.
Alright, I was getting a notice, some people are getting some feedback. Are you still hearing it?
Yeah. It's not as bad as it was, though.
Okay. Test.
Yeah, you have a little bit of an echo, but it's better.
Okay.
Sounds okay on this end, but...
I'm fine.
Okay. We'll keep going. If it gets worse, I'll end the call again and we'll splice again. Okay. All right. So, Jade Witch, what do you want to do?
So, I'm gonna try to nullify her movement.
Did you
want to
try and... get closer to her first, you move up and then use your attack, because you got to move and an attack action. So
yeah, I'll do both.
Okay, so you're going to move to try and keep her close so you can close the distance.
Yeah, if she's trying to weave between buildings and whatnot, then I'll try to get a little altitude so I can go in a straight line and make up for how much faster she is than I am, if possible.
So what you're going to do here, let's see, you have, what skills do you have? Athletics, acrobatics. You're pretty much a mage. So,
right.
All right. So in this case, actually she's just kind of making a beeline. So I'm going to say that she's gaining distance on you, but you still have her within range. So you move to try and keep her within range. So instead of being, medium range, she's still short range for you, but she's quickly going to be outpacing you. Okay. Roll a, attack roll for your spell.
All right. Now, under my my offensive section, it says for my dispel, it's a plus 8 with a DC will of 18.
Right, so you have a plus 8 to hit.
Okay, and that was a decent roll. That gives me a 25.
Okay.
Let's see.
That will hit. The nature of Nullify. I will flip to the book here to give everybody a clear explanation of how it works. Basically, you make a ranged attack check to hit, which you did. Then the two characters are going to be making opposed checks. You roll a d20 and add it to your Nullify rank, and then they are going to use their will defense or their effect that you're trying to dispel, in which case her flight. So she's going to add her flight to a d20 and compare that against your magic spell with a d20. So
okay.
d20 plus 8 versus her die roll.
18 for me.
Okay. She beats that.
Crap. Is it too late to spend a point?
Hero point? I'll let you do it.
Okay, let me try again. And it's even worse. Okay, never mind.
Well, no, wait. Remember, if you roll a 10 or below, you add 10 to what's on the die. What did you roll on the die?
Oh, is that how that works?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry to be such a rules nerd. I'm not good with the system. So that would be an 18 plus an 8. Yeah, I need training. I'm pitiful.
So you rolled an 8 on the die?
Mm-hmm, which gives me an 18 plus another 8. So yes. 26 this time.
26. And her total was still a 31. But because you rolled a hero point, I'm going to kind of rule that you're disrupting her ability somewhat, so you slow her down.
You don't quite
shut the power off, but I'm going to say you're slowing her down, so you can catch up to her.
Okay, well that gets the job done. Okay. Awesome. Okay.
All right. Ba-ba-ba-bum. So that was Jade Witch's turn, which ends that round. And next round, Tempest goes first.
Okay. I'll tell her that my kind doesn't go around making beanstalks in the middle of streets and flipping over cars. And then I will try to... Is she on the ground now because her flight was interrupted, or is she
in the air? It wasn't shut down. It was just disrupted a little bit. So she's still on that platform.
Okay. I will try to leap up onto the platform.
Well, I mean, a platform virtually. I mean, basically, she's hovering in the middle of the water, essentially.
Okay.
So you can come down from above her and smack her if you want.
I was going to try the grab again because we don't want her to get to the ocean because that sounds really bad.
Okay.
Much better. I got a 15 on the die plus 6 is 21 for the grab attack.
All right, 21 to hit, and now she rolls. That actually does hit, so now she has to roll against that. So your strength plus a 10 versus her dodge. And I'm looking at the wrong character, Calypso. There we go. Let's see. What was your total again? A 22?
Yes.
All right. I actually rolled a little low that time, so you managed to grab her, and she is held. Now, when you're grabbing somebody, the amount that they fail by kind of determines how well grabbed they are. In this case, she's restrained, so she's immobile and vulnerable, but she's not completely defenseless. But you have managed to basically grab her out of the water spout and land to the ground, and the water just kind of splashes to the ground around you and starts swirling around on the ground around you like it's trying to pull in and find her again. And you've basically grabbed her, and she's wriggling to try and get out of your grasp.
Okay.
All right, that was a move and an attack. So Tempest is gone. Starchild.
Yeah, I'm going to catch myself from my fake plummet, and she's fairly banged up and vulnerable. Well, vulnerable won't count in this case, but I'm going to go ahead and hit her with my brain blast.
Actually, she is vulnerable because she's grabbed.
Yeah, but it won't matter to me because I don't roll to hit.
Gotcha.
So I'm hitting her with my mental blast, which is a DC 21 damage save.
No, wait. It's perception range. What's the effect value?
Okay, sorry. The effect value is 6.
Okay. So.
And it's resisted by will, DC 21.
Okay, so you just hit, and she has to roll a will check against the damage of 21.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so in this case, she is rolling.
So her bruising applies to this, right?
What's that?
Her bruising applies to this, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Which means she's at minus 3 to this roll. And, uh, 6 damage versus... Oh, okay, yeah. So she is still... She gets dazed and another minus 1 penalty.
All right.
So...
Wearing her down.
Even more bruised.
Do we see the brain blast? Do we see some sort of...
Yeah, it's not subtle, is it?
Yeah, no, it should be obvious.
Yeah, what? How, go ahead and describe it for us.
It's kind of the classic. It emanates right out of the center of my forehead. shoots forth, and she shrieks in pain and recoils.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like if you remember the very early issues of New Mutants when they did the mind control, where some sort of radius would appear above the head of the mind controlled characters.
Karma. You
know, I figured that was the visual effect that comic book characters could see.
Okay. Right.
All right. So you have zapped her, and she's wriggling and trying to get away from Tempest's grasp, but so far unable to act. All right, so that's Starchild's action. Lamplighter.
Well, I'm going to try and finish her off. So Lamplighter's running towards her, and as she, you know, leans especially far away from Tempest, I'm going to try and hit her right in the head.
Okay.
So she is vulnerable.
Yes. Did you want to take another power attack?
Yep. Power attack. And I'm going to save my hero point in case I miss, which I might need. So I'm minus 2 for the power attack. Is that right?
Minus 2 to your attack roll. All right. Resuming part 3 of our intermittent podcast.
Yeah.
Jason was performing another power attack. What did you roll on the attack?
Normally I'd be plus 10 to hit, but with a power attack, I'm minus 2.
Uh-huh.
So that makes me plus 8, and I rolled an 8, so my total is 16. But if that's not enough,
hit.
I've got a hero point.
Okay. She is currently at a 16 will hit.
Oh, excellent.
We'll just hit.
Okay, so the damage is 12.
Okay. So she is going to roll against a 12, and she is at a minus 4 now. One, two, three, four, and she gets another minus 1. So she is at... total of minus 5.
I should have extra effort and done it on auto fire attack. All right. Next time.
All right. Let's see. So that's 5 bruises and she's still dazed. Boom. All right. The lamplighter has gone and it is Calypso's turn. She is going to try and break free. And since I can do this... while we're waiting on the... Actually, you know what? I'm going to check my recording here. Make sure I'm still recording. Okay. I'm going to have Calypso roll to try and break free. And she does not. Not with that roll. Even pulling in the water and trying to gush it out against... Tempest's arms, he's able to hold fast, and I guess he laughs at the water. So that's her only action. So alright, it is Jade Witch's turn.
Okay. I'm liking the power attacks. I want to try one of those, too.
You can do one, as long as you have an attack roll. The only people who can't do power attacks are people who are doing area effects or perception ranged attacks or otherwise who don't get attack rolls. So you can do a power attack if you want.
It's a little bit riskier for you because your attack bonus is already a little bit lower, but your damage bonus is higher. But because she's vulnerable, this is the perfect time to do it anyway.
Yeah, let's see what happens, just so I can say I've done one.
Yep.
All right, so instead of a plus 8, I'm at a plus 6, yes?
Yes.
So that, come here. Try rolling on the notebook. Come on. Okay, there we go. 13 and 6, so 19.
19 to hit. Well, all right, so that does hit. And your damage goes from a 12 to a 14, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that means that... now, wait, you did not have the power attack extra or advantage, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I couldn't remember if anybody had taken it or not. All right, so she has to roll against a 14. The only difference with somebody who has the advantage is they can make a trade of up to minus 5 to their attack to get a plus 5 damage.
Oh, I was going to ask, what's the difference? Mm-hmm. So, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, the...
Yeah, taking a minus 5 when you've only got an 8 to begin with, I don't... That's no wonder I didn't buy that.
Well, when she's vulnerable, though, I mean, it'd be good to do with it.
But what might be good for you, if you did want to get a trade-off type advantage, would be actually a defensive attack, or not a defensive attack, but... where is it?
Accurate
attack. Where... You actually reduce the effect value and increase your attack bonus.
So it would
allow you to reduce the damage to have a better chance of hitting for somebody.
Oh, you know what
really
I could have done? I could have bought the power attack feat for one round, right?
You can do that with a power hero point, yeah.
So I could have
or extra effort,
plus,
yeah.
Plus 5 minus 5, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. I was saving it to make sure I hit. So.
Yep. And actually, if I had thought about that, I would have suggested that rather than using it to bump up your effect value by 1. I wasn't thinking.
Yeah. All good.
Yeah. All right. So she rolls a 10 on her die. So let's see. She's got her toughness versus a 14 damage bonus now. So that is there. I am looking at the reference tables in the back because it is much easier for me to then calculating it in my head every time. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. She is staggered.
Woohoo!
Yay!
So she gets a permanent loss. She is limited to one action around for the rest of the combat unless she finds a way to recover. And she is up to 6 bruises now.
And also she's half speed. If she gets loose.
Right.
Well, Tempest, finish this off for us.
All right, yeah, it is Tempest's turn.
Is Rick here?
I thought Rick was back.
I thought he was, too.
He was, but he forgot to unmute his mic.
Oh. It does work better when the mute is off, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost crazy. Every time.
Okay, like I was saying when you couldn't hear me, I'm going to maintain the grab, and I will take a standard action to just do the squeeze to inflict strength damage on him.
Okay. All right, in which case, she just has to roll against your strength damage.
Yep.
And that's going to be a 12, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So she rolls against that. And let's see. 11 on the die that time. Which makes it 12 there. And for those listening at home, since it's not really a huge tactical issue, I'm going to tell you that she has a toughness of 13. So she has got a 24 total on the die roll, and then you subtract 6 from that, which means that her total is going to be a 18. Versus the damage value of 12 means that she gets dazed and another minus 1 penalty. The dazed isn't going to affect her anymore, though, because she's staggered. So, she does take a another bruise. So she's going down slowly.
Okay.
But she's tough.
Yeah.
All right. So that was Tempest's turn. And that's the end of that round. Wait.
No, this was the start. I'm sorry.
That was the start of the next round. That's right. So Tempest is gone. Starchild goes next.
I'm going to do... I'm going to burn a hero point of extra effort, or four extra effort, basically, to ramp my blast up one and hit her with it again.
Okay.
So that increases the damage to 7. Resist
All right.
will.
And this is versus her will. And she rolls a total of 24 on her will check, subtracting 7 from that is 14, versus a damage value of 6, which means
damage
6 plus 15 is 21, so she misses it by 7, so she takes another dazed and a minus 1 penalty.
Okay.
So she's up to minus 8.
Yeah. I'd up that to 7.
Oh.
Extra effort, so... I don't know whether that affects it or not.
Yeah, it was 7. And she rolled a 24. Minus 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So yeah, that was still minus 1 penalty.
Okay.
So yeah.
All
right. She is tough. Both, she has a very high will and a very high toughness. You guys are whittling her down shot by shot. All right. Let's see. That was Starchild's action. Did you want to do anything with your move action? Or...
No.
Okay. Just hovering nearby. All right. The Lamplighter.
I'm going to continue running towards her. I'm just on my feet, so I have no idea how far away from me she is now.
Well, you're still at medium range, considering that she was zipping along, and you're moving at 30 feet around, and she's moving at like 60 miles an hour.
Okay. So, all right. So I will continue running towards her, and then I will use my hero point to get power attack. Power attack feat.
Mm-hmm.
Advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I will try that. So I will be plus 5 on the attack roll, but the damage will be 15. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, you can also do an all-out attack and combine the two. I allow them. It's not specifically stated in the rules whether you can do that or not. But since you don't have the all-out attack advantage... You'd be limited to giving yourself compensating. Basically, you can take your defense bonus down by 2 and upgrade your attack, so it'll keep you at a 7 attack bonus and a 15 damage. If you want to do that.
It means that my defenses go down by 2.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. The all-out power attack, which is a classic of second edition. All right. I'll try that then. So that puts me at plus 7.
Okay.
But I suck. So I got 11.
You got a what?
My total is only 11.
Ah, oh, that man.
Almost certainly miss.
Okay, yeah. Vulnerable 6, yeah. So she's still wiggling around.
See, this is what, the moral of the story, don't power attack.
Always power attack. Just be closer.
Just roll better. The moral of the story is roll better.
I think that's a lesson we can all learn. Yeah.
That's just how I roll.
Well. So now she's
that's a
get
different
passed.
Podcast.
All right. Let's see. It is now Calypso's turn, and she is staggered and bruised badly.
This is where she either gives up or we all get a hero point and she turns into water and disappears.
actually, she is... I'm just looking to see if there are any power stunt type approaches that she's going to take here. She is actually going to... Um, All right. She's a bit freaked out by the fact that these crazy human mutant non-god things are actually hurting her. So she is going to dig her feet into the ground, and the water kind of swirls around her and starts carving into the earth beneath her and Tempest. And okay. Basically what happens is she's using extra effort to dig out the ground underneath you guys and move the earth by moving the water. She heaves up a bunch of the ground up around you, around herself and Tempest, plunging you guys down into essentially the sewer under the city. I'm going to have Tempest basically roll a strength check just to hold on to her.
Okay. I'm going to spend my other hero point because rolling a 3 doesn't seem like such a good idea.
Roll better.
All right. A 15 on the die. So that's a total of 27.
All right. She does not manage to wriggle free, but there's a lot more water around you guys right now.
Mm-hmm.
And because of all the runoff from the street. And it's swirling around you both. And so it's gone from being like spray around her to actual solid water. Do you have a life support? Do you need to breathe?
Yes, I do need to breathe.
Okay. Starting next round, you're basically going to have to start rolling against drowning.
Okay.
Not this round. All right. She's essentially power stunted a kind of attack here. All right, so... Or she will, rather, next round. But this round, she only had the one action. So, let's see. Back to my tactical console. That means it's Jade Witch's turn.
Okay, maybe I'm just thinking of an old version of this character, but I thought I had an aura power that I could protect people from suffocation and whatnot. That I'm not seeing on here. Maybe I'm just thinking about something that was in a draft.
I didn't see one when I was translating the character. I didn't see one okay. In the original write-up.
All right, it's probably something I just edited out.
You could power stunt it. What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, if I'm just not going to let him drown, but no, he's not going to yet anyway. So it's okay.
I can hold my breath for like. 10 rounds plus a number of rounds equal to twice my stamina. So,
I'm not worried about you.
This would take a while.
Yeah, okay. All right, I will cease worrying about that. I'll blast her, smack her again.
All right, another power attack?
Sure. I got away with it once. Let's see if I can get away with it twice.
All right, so...
16 plus 6 is 22.
Okay, 22 definitely hits.
Yay!
She likes rolling low on those toughness checks against you. Let's see how bad this one was. All right, so 15 total, minus 8 is a 7 on the die. And your damage is a 12 or a 14? 14, right?
It's a 14 now.
Yeah, so... let me recalculate that. Let's see, she had a 15 minus 8 is 7. Yeah, that KOs her. All right.
Yes.
You blast her, and she finally stops fighting, and the water around you just kind of drops to the ground, and... The thunderstorm actually starts to clear up. You guys notice almost immediately the stormy skies begin to start calming down, and the lightning flickers and fades away, or stops rumbling overhead. Did you want to use your create power to basically make sure she's chained up until you get her back to the authorities?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now here's where you have to make a decision. As a member of the library, you would normally take mythical characters or magical characters to the library for processing and possible incarceration. But the problem is, she was already under detention by the mundane authorities, so making her disappear might cause complications. So you kind of have to decide whether you are going to take her to the library and have them deal with her, or if you're going to try and take her to the police and see if they can hold her.
That is a tough one.
Are the rest of us here? Can I...
All right, yeah. You guys all kind of arrive as Tempest is climbing out of the hole in the ground and pulling this unconscious prisoner with him.
So now what do we do?
Sorry.
We either give her back to the police so they can let her go again, or we give her to the library, who knows what'll happen to her.
And the police
won't know anything, and they'll be grouchy about that.
Well, I don't know who this library is, but I know that this woman has rights.
That's a good point.
I suppose that kind of trumps everything else, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, how did they get her in the first place is kind of a question I'm wondering.
And well,
where'd she get the magic beans from, or whatever she did to?
Yeah, did she even do that, or did she just take advantage of it when it happened?
You guys will need to do some investigation on that count.
Yeah, absolutely.
The connection between a Caribbean water goddess and a giant beanstalk. I think either somebody else was arranging for her escape, or she was just taking advantage of an accident.
Mm-hmm.
But listen,
heck of an accident.
Who is everybody here?
I kind of tried to sit down away from everyone because I'm feeling rather exposed since I don't have a costume and I don't have,
You can makeshift something like tear off a piece of your t-shirt or something and wrap it around your face.
Yeah, that's true. I could pull my t-shirt up and everybody would think I'm disaster area.
Or you could, maybe did you have a costume? I mean, if you had a costume, maybe you can just, pull the mask on real quick.
I come from further up north. I have a knit cap that I've pulled down over my face.
There you go.
Okay.
That works. So, yeah, I'm in the vicinity, basically a rangy kid wearing a concert t-shirt. Not in costume.
Well, you did good work back there, kid. What's your name?
Call me Starchild.
All right, Starchild. I'm the lamplighter. And miss? Sir?
Tempest?
Jade Witch.
Well, we saved some people's lives here. You guys did good work.
We do seem to work all right together, don't we?
Now, as far as Calypso here, it looked like she was being transported. Right? That's how she broke out? She was in that truck?
Mm-hmm.
Was that truck a, like... Beacon City or some kind of federal thing or something different?
Federal was what it looked like to me. I can go look at it again.
Does she have like does her prison suit have like something on the back of it?
It said federal transport or federal prisoner on the back.
All right, so we need to call the federal marshals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who I'm now calling.
Okay. Are you guys heading back to there were the two guards that were in the truck back at the back of the beanstalk.
Is it still there? It hasn't disintegrated or anything?
That's a good question.
The beanstalk is still there, but it's starting. You can see sunlight starting to break up over the eastern horizon, and you as you look up into the sky, it tends to, or it seems to kind of fade a little bit the higher it goes from the ground. So where it kind of disappeared into the clouds earlier, it looks like it kind of goes up and kind of fades. And you do remember that when you blasted a chunk off of it, it just kind of vaporized.
All right, so there's only one beanstalk, right? I mean, there's
that is
just
correct.
Okay, so here's my thesis, which we can disprove when we investigate. But my thesis is that whoever she's working with smuggled her the beans in prison. And then as she was being transported, she just threw the beans out the window. And, of course, she summoned the rainstorm, and the rain made the beans grow.
Sure.
That's how I think we got to this point.
That's plausible.
But we'll have to figure out who her recent visitors were in prison to figure out how she got the beans.
Do you guys want to do a little investigation?
Wait, what do you mean? Look, I just moved here.
Spit it out.
I don't even have a place to stay.
All right, well, we can solve that, but
yeah, you can crash at my place, dude.
There you go. Well, we need a way to keep in touch with each other. This is our case now.
Okay.
Here, I give him a card.
All right.
Is there like, yeah, it's got your. I remember you saying it had your motto on it. Is there like a contact address or something?
Yeah, I presumably there's got to be like. I'm making this up as I go here.
Sure. Lamplighter at hotmail.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can also get those kind of temporary phones.
Burner phones, yeah.
Yeah,
it's got to be a cell phone number and an email address.
And I will probably you probably have the ability to do some stuff anonymously because of your fascination with conspiracies anyway.
Yeah, he's got like dummy personality set up. He's got about half a dozen sock puppets on the internet.
So you guys are
we'll have to get this woman back to the guards.
Okay.
Okay.
As you guys head back, you see, you know, police helicopters and news helicopters converging on the giant beanstalk that's extending up into the sky. The two prisoners, yes. The two transporters.
I was just thinking, there's a big old armored car in the beanstalk that's slowly melting away.
Yeah.
We might want to go get that.
Indeed.
It will come to us if we wait.
Can you
at 32 feet per second squared, yes.
Jade Witch, can you make things float in the air? Can you lower that truck?
I doubt it. That's probably
actually
too heavy for me to handle.
No. You have a strength of 8. Or if you wanted to. You've got the
Yeah, I can go up and get it, but you guys can do that. You don't need me for that.
Yes, but you're the only one who can fly and do that.
Can't fly and do that.
Right.
Oh, okay. Be right back.
So
I'll do that. Take off,
Jade
fly
Witch
up there.
Picks up this big transport vehicle and drops down to the ground with it. Just as the two guards manage to finish climbing down the 100 feet of rope, they just kind of look at you. It's like you could have done that the whole time.
Well, she was busy.
I was busy.
They kind of look at each other and look at you, and they're not sure what to do about that. No one
kind
of them stuff.
Kind of shrug at him, you know, smile. Sorry, I guess.
She was thinking of your future.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
One of them looks and he's like, oh man, they got her. And notices that Tempest has Calypso in custody and runs back into the van's the front of the van and pulls out something from a secure lockbox and pulls out a set of large manacles. Said, quick, put these power dampers on her. That'll keep her from being able to use her powers.
Okay.
And we can definitely do that.
They basically constrict around her hands and conform to fit so she's not being crushed, but they're solidly locked on.
And at some point when I have a free minute, I do need to contact the library and tell them why they're not getting this person.
Yeah, you may want to do that in person when you fill out the report.
You think so? Okay,
yeah.
I can do that.
You can always kind of report it as that because you know the technically she wasn't actually using any forbidden magic that the library typically goes after. She was using magical powers, which kind of puts her in a gray area where it's kind of like your discretion.
And my discretion is she was in somebody else's custody, so I gave her back to them.
Yep. Yeah, we like those words, your discretion.
Yeah, my discretion.
Yeah.
Discretionary. Discretion, yes. Cool.
All right. At the same time, the officers take custody of her. They're looking up at this giant beanstalk and at you guys... And they basically ask you, so where the hell did that thing come from? We were just driving along, and it just exploded out of the ground, and next thing we know, we were up in the air.
Well, we're guessing magic beans, but, you
know. About that, I'm going to try and work my way down to the base of the beanstalk.
Mm-hmm.
And let's try a little investigation. I guess I'll probably have to wait until the beanstalk disintegrates, but I want to
Unless the heroes want to start speeding up that process by blasting it. To pieces.
And we can't cut a sample off, right? Because any piece of it that separates vanishes.
Right. Well, okay. And actually you can do a little, and because you know it's a magical construct, you can do kind of a little research on that using your magic skill.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. So that would be a 6 plus 12 is 18.
Okay. The interesting thing about this particular... It is a spell, and it's a summon of some kind, but once you've destroyed the rest of the created object here, it's sorcery, and... you're not sure, but it smells like forbidden sorcery. Like, this part here was using some kind of spell that is usually monitored and controlled, this kind of creation. But you want to make sure before you say anything to anyone, because it's one of the library's kind of top secret kinds of spells. So something dangerous, possibly, but you do know that the vine itself is not real. It's only real as long as the magical energy kind of sustains it. And you know, you could wait for like 12 hours or so, and it would evaporate, or you could just cast a dispel and probably overcome it and disintegrate it now.
Is there anything else caught in the leaves and vines that needs to come down?
Nothing of importance. You want to keep people back from it when you disintegrate it, so any of the rocks and stuff don't hit anybody. But there's nothing important up there.
Okay, do that and make sure there's a wide area around it, and then dispel it.
Okay, I'm gonna let you take a routine check on this because you're not in combat anymore.
Okay.
So Jade Witch. Unweaves the spell, and when she does, the interesting thing is that the overpass is still crumbled and destroyed, and the pieces of the overpass tumble down eventually and fall on the ground below. But the ground below, where it looked like it had erupted up from the ground, seems to heal itself, as if that was just kind of like stuck on or not real destruction. As a matter of fact, it did. You know, the vine did not go below the surface of the ground.
Okay. So there's no bean.
There's no bean, but when you get down to the middle, there is something. There is a pay. You know, actually, let's have you guys do a search to try and find it. You can use investigation or perception.
How about a 29?
29? You're looking around trying to find the beans, and you find instead a page torn out of a children's book. You see a page torn out of an actual, like, kid's coloring book of Jack climbing up the beanstalk.
Well, I will hand that Jade Witch, and I will say, what do you make of that?
And Jade
Where
Witch,
was this, at the base of the beanstalk?
That's right.
Yeah, this is a dangerous kind of magic called bookbinding, and it basically allows somebody to either put things into or pull them out of literary works, basically transmuting them from the page to reality.
Would the person that did this have to be physically here present to make this beanstalk, or could that person have put the spell in the page, given the page to Calypso to be triggered later?
Would I know that?
Make a magic roll. See if how much you know about this type of magic.
Yeah, because if this is something that the organization tries to keep under wraps. Oh, but I did roll an 18. That's nice. So that is a 18 plus. Find it, Lynn. There it is. 18 and 12. That's very nice. That's a 30.
Yep. So you're aware that if this had been like a pre-charged magic spell of some kind, there probably would have been runes and other design works written on the page. But since there aren't, it's very likely that this was done as a somebody on site cast the spell, and then left.
Okay.
Well, it's probably futile, but I want to try a tracking check.
Okay.
Right, because I have that advantage. 22.
Okay. You're looking around for... And the interesting thing is that when the beanstalk vanished, it everything around the street healed, so you're actually able to find dry footprints... despite all of the rain, you're actually able to find some. You actually find the coloring book of children's stories that the book page was torn out of, and then over nearby that you see a patch of ground where apparently there's some kind of scorching on the ground.
I can actually track magical energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I will try to track that.
Okay. You need to make a I'm going to roll for Jade Witch here. Yeah, Jade Witch recognizes this as a teleportation spell.
So the page could have been teleported here.
More likely a person
teleported in and cast it?
Well, cast it and then teleported away, or somebody else teleported them away. There's indications that there might have been more than one person there. As a matter of fact, you get the impression that somebody in high heels and somebody else wearing, like, leather boots was here. Like, biker boots. Rather large biker boots, actually. Like about a size 12.
Yeah, but she's got nice shoes. All right, well, there's clearly an organization at work here. So all the more reason for us to be working together.
Sure.
Yep. Are you guys going to stick around? And there are a lot of news helicopters and vans are trying to pull up into the area. And now they've discovered you... down on the ground, you see cars approaching your area. Are you guys going to stick around and talk to the press and the police, or are you going to make yourself scarce?
Scarce.
I'll clap Tempest on the shoulder and say, go get him, Tiger. Then I sneak away.
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah, I'm totally gone. You're on your own.
Oh, my God.
I get the heck out of Dodge.
Around the fringes, trying to get my bag out of the bottom of the bus.
Okay.
Well, Tempest struck me as being the sort of handsome face man, kind of, you know, the guy who would look good on camera. So I figured maybe he would want to stay, but I'm too dark and broody.
I don't know what to say.
Well, that's okay. All right. That could be hilarious too. Just talk, see what comes out.
You're so the only person left is Tempest?
Yeah, but I'm gonna bug out unless I'm like, yeah. Well, I was just gonna bug out. I figure I can. Let me restate that. If there's like stuff that still needs to be done,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, overturned cars or whatever, then he'll help the police with that.
Actually, what he really means there is if the reporter is hot.
All right, you guys are standing here kind of trying to decide. So did Jade Witch stick around or is she gone?
Oh no, she's gone.
Okay. Whoosh. All right, so you're standing here kind of looking around. It's like everybody like kind of bailed on you, and it's the old will the volunteers step forward and everybody steps back joke. And you're kind of looking around going, wait, what? Go get him. What does he mean? And this car, I'm sorry, this news van, Channel 12 News, pulls up. And the back door slides open, and a cameraman hops out. And immediately behind him, a blue tick coonhound dog drops out of the back of the van and pads up to you and sits up and looks up at you and he says, well, you've had a busy day, haven't you?
Oh my God. What was the character?
It's Nero the Newshound.
You're Nero the Newshound. Oh my God.
Big Norse god going squee.
Squee.
Well, so, did you make this whole mess?
No, no, sir. I've been trying to clean it up.
It's like, so consider yourself a superhero, do ya?
Well, I guess so.
Question mark.
I'm not a supervillain, that's for sure.
We know that much.
All right. Some of the police are trying to coordinate the area off for safety's sake, and a group of them come over and start trying to talk to you, but they see the newshound and they're like all kind of stopping, going "Uh-oh," and looking at each other. And you're kind of staring at this talking dog going, I thought it was a special effect. It's like, you're like, I didn't realize that was real. I thought that was just a gimmick that the TV show used to do.
Yeah, that's the thought balloon, but he's not going to say that.
All right. I think at this point, this is a good place to go ahead and end our first session. I'm going to give everybody... 2 experience points, 2 power points, and
cool.
We're going to call that a dark and stormy night.
Cool.
All right.
Well, thanks for running, James. I had a lot.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So one thing we will want to discuss at some point, I mean, we can talk about it now or we can talk about it next time, is what you guys want to do with your experience points or if you want to just save them. Some people will, because you can take 1 point and buy an advantage. Some people want to spend some stuff right away just because they see things that they can immediately do. And some people want to spend some points, save points up and make bigger changes to their characters.
Yep.
So feel free to do so. One of the other things I'm going to do right now is actually go ahead and tell you, you can buy your way up to power level 11, starting now. So I'm basically bumping the power level cap of the game up to 11. So you can immediately, if you can afford it, you can buy up an attack bonus or a power effect value to that rank.
Okay.
Or you don't, but you don't have to. You can. It basically just gives the option of increasing your abilities or spreading out and becoming more fleshed out and into different areas.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. I'm gonna go get some lunch.
All right, guys. I think we're all ready to eat. So thanks to everybody who tuned in, and I'm gonna do my best to patch this glitchy call together so that we have a nice seamless call for everyone to listen to. But thanks you guys for playing. Thanks everyone for listening. If you have any questions, as always, feel free to leave them on the podcast blog site. Or you can ask questions to the Atomic Think Tank. I'm haunting there pretty frequently. But if you have any specific questions for the players, please call them out in your question, and I'll make sure the player is advised so they can answer it. Otherwise, I guess that's everything for today. So until next time, happy Memorial Day and stay vigilant.